Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we accept your presence and an abiding presence, Lord, one which is in the shout and a message, Lord, to bring your church in order under your own particular self, to raise the dead, to immortalize your people with the tree of life in our presence also. We thank you, Lord, for this, knowing that your word is true, truly vindicated. Bless each person this morning, Lord, and let not one go away empty, but rather more full, word piled upon word, getting closer and closer to the fullness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, it's actually, we've come to the place and to realize that we have had a very full revelation of the exact fulfillment of Scripture as pertaining to this hour. We have the presence of the Lord, who came in a pillar of fire, vindicated, bringing the revelation of the same word that he brought to Paul. And that Spirit, of course, is the fullness of God himself, waiting for the incarnation. We have the unveiling of the Son of Perdition at the same time as we have the unveiling of the Son of Man. And so we know what he is doing, waiting for his incarnation, as he incarnated himself in Judas, then to be in the man of sin. And at the same time, we know who the true church is and the false church, so that we have a very complete revelation at this time. And of course, this morning we're looking at dissertation number 19 in the God of this evil age, which exposes Satan even as God exposed himself, and also exposes the working of the satanic spirit in the end time church and pointing that end time church out. So now remember, last Wednesday, you that were here, we took two paragraphs only, maybe three at the most, on page 35, paragraphs 145 to 147, wherein Brother Branham speaks out against the denominations which have come together in an ecumenical wedding movement that appears wondrously beautiful and seems to be the epitome of the love of God and the fulfillment of Scripture to that end. But it is headed by Satan, who again is presenting the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and has enticed even full-born sons of God, as he did Eve, to join with him. It is then Brother Branham cries out, as in Revelation 18 and 4, "Come out of her, my people," and he says, "Flee, children, flee from it." Now, he likens the church of the devil to a woman who has broken her Nazarite vow, for the church condones cut hair and immoral dress and filthy conduct. In other words, there's a spirit of filth upon her, though she doesn't know it. That's true. She doesn't recognize it any more than Eve knew what she was getting into. The church that was to be like Samson, consecrated for an age, and the purpose of that age, because Samson was consecrated to that age, he was born to an age, and he had a purpose. Even as he was, the church was, and has rejected Christ and joined herself to Satan. Now, we're going to stop and think a little about Samson here again. And in chapter 13, verse 1, you'll notice the Bible says, for the setting we're looking at, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." Now remember, Brother Branham said there were seven church ages in the Old Testament as well as the New. And what was the evil that happened every single time that God brought on a messenger to the church? They began to allow organization to come in. They allowed the word of the enemy to come in, and of course in his word was his own spirit. because a man in his word is identified as one, God, devil, you and I. So, you'll see here that every time they go into evil, and remember evil is in contradistinction to righteousness, and evil is explained in 1 John the 3rd chapter, which is the repudiation of the word and going to its own word, bringing about unrighteous acts, lies, murders, and so on. So, all right, for they had done evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Now, you notice Israel should have known its lesson. It wandered for 40 years. And now there's a 40-year period in here which speaks of the correction of God and the dying off of the people who are not fit for the kingdom. And so then in verse 5 it says, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So in that particular time, God was working, and you'll notice that Samson beginning to deliver was not the deliverer, but he himself foreran the deliverer, which should come. Now, we can liken this to the church ages to begin with. And we go here to Revelation in the church ages, the third chapter, and it's in the fifth age that God begins to deliver the church of the New Testament under the ministry of Luther, who brings us justification, then comes Wesley with sanctification, then came the Pentecostals with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, bringing back the gifts in the church. And at the time of the latter rain comes a former rain, which is a teaching rain, the teaching word, which is going to restore the word, which went off track at the time of Paul, which when it is restored, gives us that ability to go to the tree of life, as we saw and we will see. So he said, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Sardis, write these things, said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now, that's exactly true. He be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, you notice in here, the condition is very, very terrible, but there is the possibility of a strengthening and a survival until something else happens which will bring deliverance. Remember, therefore, how as thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. If thou therefore shalt not watch, shall come on thee as the thief, and thou shalt not know what hour will come upon thee. Thus a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now you'll notice in there that you're looking at the picture that we've always looked at, and that is that always God sends a messenger, and then there comes the problem with the word, which at that particular time they begin to not necessarily turn away from, but begin to organize, and then pretty soon they are superseding God's revelation by their own understanding and revelation there. And this is no different. They shall walk with me in white. And remember, the last age brings forth, and we'll see it right in this message here, that God is bringing forth a bride in the garments that the Lord has for her, which we know to be all glorious within and without. So he that overcometh the saints be clothed in white raiment, and I'll not blot out his name out of the book of life. And notice at where this can take place in Revelation 22, it tells you that they that wash their robes. It's not, you know, the commandments, but it's just the same as this. The giving of the robes is the overcoming, and the overcoming is what? Is standing there with the word of Almighty God. And I'll not take his name out of the book of life. So no one's name gets taken out of the book of life who stands with that word. There's no bride is ever going to have that problem. But I just wanted to bring that to you. Then with that, we can also bring it to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who was it that was a pre-deliverer? In other words, he was there before the deliverer. You find that as John the Baptist. And it says in verse 16 of Luke 1, "And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So what you see here is how God has done things. Even way back there, he did it when he was on earth here in the form of human flesh. And he is doing it today. Now, to consider again how Samson was to start the great deliverance of Israel, we're going to have to, for a comparison and see how it runs today, we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. And in Ephesians, we see the whole purpose of Almighty God laid before us in chapter 1. And there's a natural division in verses 3 to 22, because that's the entire chapter. And the natural division is 3 to 14, which is set forth the plan of Almighty God, bringing you up to the place where the Holy Spirit runs out. In other words, where there's no more seed, where anybody else is baptized with the Holy Ghost. Because it says here about the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So when you use the word until, it means it runs out. There isn't any more. In other words, there's coming a time when there's not one more person born again. Now you understand that has to be so. Now, the next division is the secret of the resurrection and the rapture. See? Okay, at that particular time, when the baptism with the Holy Ghost runs out, not the anointing, but the Holy Ghost baptism, and the very presence of God, that which is controlling now, is taken. The Holy Ghost goes plumb out of the world. The pillar of fire is taken out, and the bride goes with him. Okay, now it says, "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's hope of his calling, even what the riches of the glory is inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised from the dead." That's utterly impossible in any church age except this age, because that is the resurrection. So therefore, it takes another spirit separate from what people individually possess of God in the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's God himself only who can raise the dead. So when you talk of a spirit coming into the church to raise the dead, to change us, you know that's got to be God himself, because only God can raise the dead. That period, that's the scripture. No argument. If you argue about that, you better go back and study your Bibles, because you don't even know what you're thinking right. The scripture says God who raises the dead, and nobody else does it. Jesus did not raise himself. God raised him. See? Okay. So, God himself must come to the church and be on earth here raising the dead. And that very power, God himself in the church, will transform us. Now watch, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also the world to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. So, all right. Now, this entire prophetic history of the church, wherein God has this plan to bring his sons that have been foreknown and elected, predestinated as bride, to bring them in and then bring about a resurrection, change the people remaining to immortality, bring them all together to the wedding supper, and then bring them back upon earth where all things are under his feet until it is time to turn the kingdom back to God. Now, where is that found? That is found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Because, first of all, you'll notice that Paul follows the method of Spurgeon. He lays the whole thing out. Then he takes the sections and deals with them. So Paul lays it all out. Now he's going to deal with it. Notice what he says beginning at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Notice one faith, not two. One God, even Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now the plan that God has is irrevocably linked up to Jesus Christ, the human instrument, and we are all human instruments with him. Now notice what it says here. Now, and we're going to get to this special place. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, now every single thing that is done is according to the measure of grace. Now, the measure of grace is different in every age. Not the measure of grace, by grace are you saved through faith and that of yourself, but what pertains to every single age, and particularly the last age, because there isn't anybody worthy to go to the tree of life. Because we are by nature children of wrath, even as they are the children of disobedience. We're not. But by nature, we are of one lump. You see? So, all right. Now, even Adam had a good chance because they were pure human beings, but we're not. We're a complete muddled mixture. Okay, now, wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, according to that grace, he is giving gifts. Now, watch what it says about him. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Now, it tells you right there, the one that went down to the center of the earth, the heart of the earth, is the one that went up, and he came back. Now, in coming back, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, now there's something set in order here in order to bring about that body. Now, if it's set in there to bring about the body, it is going to bring about the body. You can't accuse God of being a failure because he doesn't fail. Now, listen. Till we all come in the unity of faith, even of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, it tells you right there, there's the fullness of Christ that's got to be in the church. In other words, the full measure of the Word with the full measure of the Spirit brings the totality of the Holy Spirit, all of it, right in the midst of the church. Now, not in an individual outside of a prophet. See? That's where people still get messed up on the presence. They don't understand presence from presence. See? Now, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, watch. That henceforth we be no more children, or that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now that is the ultimate. The mature Christian. See, coming up to the very top. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him, not into him, because you're already in him. You look in your margin and see that's unto him. In all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now watch. From whom the whole body. Now watch what you're seeing here. What is from the top in the plan of Almighty God and in him comes down and works from the feet up. You follow? Nebuchadnezzar's vision was from the head down. The world vision of kingdom of this world, which is Satan, started from the head of gold to the feet of clay and iron. But in the scripture, it is reversed. It is from the feet to the head, Now remember, the head of gold, representing, you could say, Satan and his system, is still the same thing that is in the feet. There is no difference. Now, you have a foundation in the church, the cornerstone, that is laid. As Paul said, no other foundation can man lay, and Peter called it a cornerstone. And the cornerstone has to become the headstone. In other words, there is a system, there is a bride, all of God, the same as there is a church of the devil that's all of the devil. And remember, the kingdoms of this world are of Satan because he got them fair and square by taking it away from Eve and Adam. All right, now, watch. It's holding the truth in love can grow up unto him. Now, watch what it says. It is holding the truth under certain conditions, which is what? You love that truth. Because that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians. They have not the love of the truth. So they believe a lie. But the bride loves one thing. She loves word. Why? Because she is word. See? Now, a cow loves grass. But I'm going to tell you something. You give a cow a choice of everything that a cow will eat. I don't know what a cow will eat. Our cows, they like onions. They smack their chops over onions, which I'm sure ruin the milk. But I'm letting you know. Now, here, let's say you put something before a fly. A lot of things before a fly. You can start with honey to manure. I don't care what it is. What the fly really likes the best, if it's out there, will go to it. Then what about the bride? She's word. So, what she really loves, what is really her desire and her instinct, she's going to hit for it. See? So, here's a bride that loves the word. And she's holding it. Paul even mentions, you keep this in mind, he said, you'll have fellowship with the Lord. That's what John said. Now, but holding the truth in love, grow up unto him in all things, which is the head. Now, in him is everything. Now, what are we growing up into as a bride? The resurrection. And in him is the resurrection, because he purchased it. Therefore, at the right time, God must release resurrection power. Now, we saw that in Ephesians 1. He might be all things to all things. Now, from whom the whole body fitly joined and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Seven church ages make seven joints. Seven messengers and seven messages. Now, according to the effect you're working in the measure of every part. In other words, what does the word hold at this certain hour that is bigger than another hour? Like Brother Branham said, Luther coming out of Catholicism. Catholicism was just total darkness. But Wesleyans coming out of Luther was greater and more wonderful. And when Pentecost came out of Wesley, it was greater still. And this is millions of times greater. Now, you got to believe it or you don't believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, you're the loser. You're not holding the truth in love. Because what happens? A fear is there. Love casts out fear. Fear and love cannot exist at the same time any more than love and hate can exist. Except for one thing. Hate can be a perfect hatred against God and pass off as love. And everybody's, oh, lovely, lovely Christian. Jesus said, if I had not done what any other man had done, they had not sinned. But now they've both seen and hated, both me and my Father. You present that to church, and they'll say, we love Jesus, hallelujah. And come right to the pillar of fire and see God work. And they gnash their teeth and they hate it. Now where's your stinking, rotten, filthy love you people have been talking about all these years? And I've been trying to get you straight on. I wouldn't give you a negro for it. It's the filth of a prostitute. But when you stand with that word in meekness, it won't move. But you stand with it even unto death. Now you've got the beginning of love. Because the love of God can only be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost conduit is that word. And don't you believe otherwise. All right, we're looking at the scripture here. And it says it starts from the top. It started from the top, but it came down and went from the bottom. And that's what it says here in Ephesians, those verses I read. He that went into the heart of the earth went up and came back. Laying the foundation. Now, you're building from the foundation, the cornerstone that left at the time of Paul, up to the capstone, which has got to be the same thing. So the pillar of fire has to return. People say, well, Brother Bill, I really don't see that in Scripture yet. There's no real verse for it. Hey, look. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. You do what you want with him. That's part of the great mystery. Part of the great thing the prophet bought, where you and I got to believe the truth, the Alpha and Omega principle. So he's got to do the same thing. Brother Branham categorically said, just think, he said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. Now either it's the truth or it's a lie. And Paul said, I speak by vindication. And if any man's going to give us the doctrine, he's got to have a vindication. I don't care how many smart scholars get together. I'm tired of smart scholars. I'm pretty smart myself in my own stupid way. I was just thrown in for a joke. To let you know I can be stupid by myself with a bunch of idiots. Let them produce something. That's what I said about the Spirit of God, if you really caught it. That tells you the nature of God. Back in the book of Genesis, it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. It was a form of darkness, and God said, let there be light. So therefore, light demonstrates God and presents God. Now that's the Spirit of God I'm talking about. Next thing, he began separating waters from waters. Light from darkness. All these things creating. All these things bringing forth. So therefore, every single time you see that manifestation, you know it's of God. That's when people come along and they see healing and say it's of the devil. They have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and they're finished. You can only tell the Spirit of God by virtue of what He is doing. When you come here with thus saith the Lord and the prophet, you know that's got to be God. Don't say, well, it could be the devil. It can't be the devil, and you're blaspheming. Well, tongues of the devil. Yeah, you blaspheme just again. Not saying it couldn't be, but you better be careful. Because that is an energy of the Holy Ghost. So, all right, listen. We see our picture here then. The division, and we watched Ephesians 4:4-16, how it was to transpire. Okay, now watch. Looking at Ephesians 4:7-10 again, and especially 10. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Not everybody's got a supply. You don't need to worry. If you're bright, you're going to make it. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's the scripture said that. Now, he that ascended so on is the same one that came back. Now, look. The same one that came back in order that he might fill all things. You understand what I said? That's verse 10. He might fill all things. Okay. He came back in order to do it. In order to have the complete preeminence and that everything would be of him and truly consisting of him. In other words, it's all God. Like, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. The build, except the Lord watch the city, to watch and watch it, but in vain. Okay, we see that. The next thing we do, we turn back to the first chapter. Now, notice I read that he might fill all things. That's why he came down. And now building is the word. No matter how little word they had in each age, every single one was solid word. No way can you get around it. A message for every age of word. Now, the first chapter again. And you're looking at verses 22 and 3. That he might put all things under his feet. That's God going to do it to Jesus. And gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, that's the ultimate. It's the ultimate there. It's the ultimate over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Now, let's go to Galatians to see the ultimate. Galatians 1:11-12. But I certify your brethren that the gospel which you preached to me is not after man, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by Jesus Christ. Now Paul says in the sixth verse, I'm marveled that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another gospel. Notice, he puts grace and the gospel one and the same. Remember, I preached a sermon a long time ago, Grace and Truth. People think they got grace without truth. They're liars. They're crazy. And you think you got truth without grace, you got to be insane. Now, he says the same thing right here. I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you preach to you, let him be accursed. Now it tells you right there, off of the word is the curse. That's exactly the Garden of Eden. There's no difference. You can't change what God's done. If he's ever done it, there's never a change. See? The dispute and the rationalizing of the Word of God destroyed mankind. Put the children of obedience in a place of disobedience. And the curse upon the earth has hit them ever since. Now let me tell you something. There's something wrong with this world. And that is, God said, now from now on, man's got to sweat. And you know what happens? They're all sitting at desks with computers. How many of you men are sweating? Not many of you. You're like the Jews. Rich Jews in California. Or they go out and they guzzle 7-course dinners and imbibe the wine. I don't blame them. It's great fun. Except I don't drink their wine. I like their 7-course dinners. Then he gets you big paunches on them like this, you know. Then they go to the steam bath. Sweat, sweat, sweat. Sweat, sweat, sweat. Well, that's nice. But that's not the sweat of the brow. That's what's wrong with you. You're not working. Now, that's just thrown in for nothing. We'll pass the plate for those goodies later on. That's the truth, see? Now, the curse on the earth is affecting people. And the greatest remedy is to sweat. That's, you know why? That's the biggest organ of elimination in the entire body. Covers your whole body. And you don't get it by sweat baths. You get it by working in the earth. That's why we're all going to be farmers. Gene doesn't have any drop on us to be a farmer. Forget it, bud. It just happens, but you're doing this point. We're all going to be farmers. We have to sweat, I don't know. But here what we're looking at is what I'm trying to show you, that this whole thing here we have today started in Eden, and as you read your word, you can see exactly what is going on at this particular point. Now, what went on back there was that they got off course from the Word of God exactly as they got off course in Eden. Somebody came along and took what Paul said and began fooling with it. Just like the enemy took the Word of God at the time of Adam and Eve and began messing with it. Now, that's the trouble. If there's grace and truth go together, the gospel goes together, grace goes together, or you haven't got it. Now, back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 11th verse, it says, and gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, just keep that in mind. I had read it. Let's go to Acts, the 20th chapter. Now, Paul has got all the elders together, pastors and everybody else, apostles, a whole bunch, in a great meeting there in Ephesus. And he says in verse 25, I'm going to see your face no more. Wherefore I take you to make a record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And all the counsel of God is in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, right there before you. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and all the flock which the Holy Ghost made you overseers, to feed the church of God, them and which is purchased with his own blood. For this I know, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Now what are they going to do? They're going to change the counsel of God. That's the first step and the only step. Once you interbreed two lives, you've got trouble. That's what happened with Eve. Two lives interbred. Now you've got Satan's life and God's life coming right in the church. Because the conduit is the Word. And you've got a fivefold ministry. What about these fivefold ministers? The true ones got some rotten ones amongst them. For this and after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you. Now the grievous wolf is a wolf in sheep clothing. They go back there demonstrating what is an outward evidence purporting to be God. And they're taking signs and wonders and gifts and fruit. Like Brother Branham said, the kind old priest. He talked about these at the end time. And Peter himself on the day of Pentecost preached that at the end time, the anointing of God would be on everybody and anybody. See the two vines all through the ages. All purporting to speak for God. And they can't do it. Now, with that in mind, and seeing Acts 20, we want to show you the church that came forth in Revelation 18. After these things, I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth had his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon, the great, is fallen. And become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, the cage of every unclean, hateful bird, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath for fornication. Now, you can see here what started ends here through a ministry that usurped the position of true ministers. And when they did, they took away the power, the true power of the Holy Ghost, which is revelation. Because every one of those ministers in Ephesians 4 is associated with the Word. So what do you got? You got the devil running this church. Now, Revelation 18 is that church that has the bride captive. And that church is purporting, swearing, claiming, trying to fulfill Ephesians 4, 12 and 13. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a perfect church, having the measure of Christ. Now, come on. That's exactly their goal. You see, I don't believe it. Listen, for crying out loud, listen to me. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Then he will have his church doing this. And if you think the churches out there aren't doing this, you're deaf, dumb, and blind. And the Pentecostals are in the vanguard. And they got the closest. Where the two spirits are razor close. They said, we're going to do it. Now, as we said, this ends up in Revelation 13. I said 18, and I did mean it, but now I'm going to say 13. I didn't say it previously. Now watch. The full measure. Verse 11, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. Then he had two horns like a lamb, spoke like a dragon. Two horns like a lamb. There you are, lamb. But it was a dragon in sheep clothing, purporting to be Christ, the church. Remember, the church is not just the bride of Christ, it's the body of Christ, and so therefore it is Christ in a body, right? Come on. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Who's the first beast? Babylon, that came down to Rome. Where Caesar turned down the title Pontifus Maximus. And so the Pope took it. And he doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of them, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now remember, that's Deuteronomy 13. Don't get carried away by miracles. Watch where they take you. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. That's the Roman Empire. It died because the Visigoths and the Celts and different ones came down and literally destroyed them. Then came the different ones coming in also from the north and from the east and west. The Moors coming up. So now it's the Holy Roman Empire. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now what is he telling you here? In the beginning, God. Now it says at the end, beast. So before, what God was doing the talking in the church, the devil is doing the talking in the church. And don't try to twist this. You twisted. Okay by me. You're just not seed. I got no time for you. So we got mindsets here. If you don't have a mindset, go someplace else. That's all. Be happy with the devil. I can't be happy. I can't stand him. I can't even stand mosquitoes and bed bugs. Why should I stand him? And he causes them, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, and bond, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads. Now that's to believe and to do, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark in the name of the beast or the number of the beast. Now he is bringing a church to perfection, which is conclusion and in the complete mold that he has in his mind. Satan's mind against God's mind. God's word against Satan's word, or Satan's word against God's word. What it really is. So you see what he's done with Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 12 and 13. Now, with Ephesians, this is why we never get through anything. But it's all right. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and so on, and some pastors and some teachers. We find this 2 Corinthians, again, like Galatians, the 11th chapter, verse 2. I'm jealous over you, godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, I'm to present you a chaste virgin of Christ. But I fear, as many means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we know that Eve entered a sex act with this beast. Now, he was capable, she was capable, he had the desire, no doubt she had the desire. There's not one of us here doesn't know what I'm saying. It takes your mind to culminate it. If you make up your mind against it, you'll not do it. But if you make up your mind, you won't contain your virginity. You will find every opportunity that you can to do it. So when Paul said, you let your mind take over, And the doctor says to you, it's all in your mind. That's exactly true as to the controlling of it. And Eve and Adam went out of control the minute their minds took a wrong word and said, we'll go that way. That's seduction. But seduction can turn to rape. And when the bride, the wise and foolish virgin, will not listen, the foolish virgin will die. And God will clean the earth up with fire. Okay. Down here, in the same chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, these people that do this, for such are false apostles, the ravening wolves, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Those sent forth by God are sent forth by the devil, and they have one trick. Remove the grace of God by removing the truth. Removing love, removing resurrection, removing the New Jerusalem, removing the millennium, removing everything. It got blown right there. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed an angel light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed. Ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's Cain. Now, it tells you right there, don't sit around and marvel. Oh, my, I don't think it could be. Well, it is. So quit your marveling. You haven't got a thing coming. This is it. If you don't believe it, you belong to the other church. Or you're still a bride trapped captive in the church. You haven't come out. Coming out is nothing. It's getting out of you. What was in there? When I left Pentecost, it left me. It had better. I'll tell you that right now. Now, notice what we read here in 2 Corinthians, running parallel to Ephesians, the true church and the true ministry. This is headed up by the Antichrist, this church that has Satan's word. And Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. That we henceforth no more be children, carried about by the sight of any cunning craftiness, but holding the truth in love, grow up to the head. What headship is it? Revelation 13. The Antichrist Church. Revelation 17. Revelation 18. Now, see this in Ephesians 4. 8-10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now what does Satan want? He wants to get up here, doesn't he? Now he that ascended, what is he first descended to the lower parts of the earth, and he descended the same, ascend up far above the heavens and so on, that he might fulfill all in all. Now this is exactly, whether you caught it or not, as the pillar of fire and Moses. Moses was the vindicated giver of the word and the interpreter thereof as he went to God for the revelation of those things he didn't understand but simply wrote and said. Now, at that time, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram challenged the leadership. Now, that's the time that Moses rose up. Why? The time before when God said, Moses, I'll get rid of them. I'll blow them all out of existence. I will make a race of you. He said, no, Lord. That was the spirit of Christ. What spirit was in Moses now when he said, don't God, I stand here. If I'm wrong, do something about it. If they're wrong, do something about them. Same Spirit of Christ. Do what you want. Hey, we're not playing mixed horses. The brindle horse at the end time, where the white, the black, and the red's all poured in together. We are playing white horse. It's pure white. From beginning to end. So you see what happened. So we see the same Alpha and Omega, the same situation. Now notice again, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body on the edifying of itself in love. Now, that is exactly what I said was the prophecy of Ephesians 1. Here, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, that fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this is an end time revelation that takes place after the seed runs out. And it tells you here how the seed comes in and how the seed runs out. It is God himself doing it, but as he had to work through Paul, he had to work through a fivefold ministry. Then rose false prophets. Then rose false ministries. Come on, that's the Bible. You can't change it. Now you got your false apostles, false this and false that. Now, so he said, notice Ephesians 4, 15, 16 is a prophecy, and Ephesians 1, 22, 23 not only agrees with it, but we see Ephesians 1, 17 to 19 is the only way it's going to happen. The Spirit has got to come down. Just at the time before the resurrection, giving a revelation. Why? Because the revelation went pooey. Got corrupted. It won't work. Nothing wrong with the revelation. It's what people did with it. So the same Spirit comes back just before the resurrection in order to put the church in order. And it's the only way it can be done. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto every one of you people at that time that's full of the Holy Ghost. He said, bless God that does it. Bless God that doesn't do it. No, it doesn't do it. I don't care if you're like Brother Banner said, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost 1,000 times a day, referring to false anointing, of course. The true anointing on the false people. That's what he was because I asked him. But I don't care if you got baptized with the Holy Ghost generally 1,000 times a day. It won't do it. So I could sit here and be smug. Go ahead and be smug. You're missing that. You missed that. You're finished. See, that's the thing people don't want to say. They don't want to. I got the Holy Ghost. Bless God. I got this. I got that. Oh, you just got a crock of manure is all you got in your head. Paul the Apostle himself said so. Well, you think I'm wrong. I'd ask you one thing. What does the stuff you eat turn to? And if you don't eat it, what does it turn to? Casting out upon the land as manure. So let's not be insulted by words when I get tough up here, because I say this for myself as much as I say for you and Morsel, because I've got to have a very tough stand if I'm going to take a tough stand over this pulpit. And I got to understand this. This is necessary or the other doesn't come, because the seed runs out, and now something must be done to the seed that's lying in the ground and the seed that is standing here, and God's got to do it. And he can't do it except according to pattern. This is where Alpha becomes Omega at this point. Now, it's the only way it can be accomplished. So now watch carefully. Ephesians 4, 9 to 10. Now he that ascended, what is he also ascended first over parts of the earth, and he that descended is the same that ascended. Now, that's the only way it can come back, which is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the kousma, which is the divine charge, command, subjecting the church to the truth. The word klousma is in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, under church order, where it talks about subjection. Now, over here it says, in 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter of the resurrection, but now verse 20, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first of the intercept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all dying, Christ all made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after the other, Christ in his presence. In other words, there was a resurrection back there at the time of Christ came out of the ground. Actually, if you believe the scripture certain ways, you're going to find this, that they wandered around and couldn't go up until he came down. He went up and came back. And he took them back. You got the same thing right here. He was down here with Paul and he went up. Now he's got to come down here to bring it. We go back with him. Now it says right here, man, his own order. Then cometh the end when he shall live in the kingdom of God, even the Father. And that's exactly what Ephesians says. You've got to have this process before you get to the New Jerusalem. So as Brother Branham said, this process now, and entering into the millennium because we're being ushered in, is a further period of sanctification getting us ready. And people say, what's to get ready? See, that's the stupidity of people. That's the stupidity. I always ask this question. I say, listen, you smart guys, you've got such great brains, I don't even look like a tadpole. So tell me. It says right here that John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel and the spirit and power of Elijah. If that's God, what does he need John the Baptist for? Well, I see, Brother Dale, it's to turn the hearts of the children back. Oh, just a minute, stupid. You got that out of the Bible. You haven't got one reason you can think of why God would need John. That's why you've got no reason to believe now with your same kind of thinking why God would need William Branham. See? Oh, listen, stick to the truth. You've got nothing to lose. Where are you going to go back? At least you've got something to hang on to. You've got something to help you float against the ungodly condition of this world. So, all right. Notice, God did not remove the fivefold ministry, which is here, but has taken all leadership away from man and placed it in himself, the Word, for he, the deliverer, has come. See, Samson blew it to a degree. He was interim. The church, as we'll take up, represents Samson, and she blew it by the cutting of hair and so on. Now, the head has come to set the church in order. Thus, we have a true bride church for the first time. Whether you believe it or not, it's coming into full existence. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of what they are doing. Not saying one thing and doing another. Not playing footsie with the devil, not changing the word and so on. Those who rule over you do it by the word Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, means that what he did back there under Paul, he tried to do all through the church, which he did to a measure, and at the end time, positively succeeds. Now that's what you're looking at. Okay, getting back to Samson. Brother Branham likens the church of the devil to a woman who has broken her Nazarite vow, for the church condones cut hair and immoral dress and conduct. The church that was to be like Samson, consecrated for an age, and the purpose of that age, has rejected Christ and joined herself to Satan. Well, listen, how is he outside the church not going to get back in? He's been rejected. Oh, they say, but brother, I didn't reject the Spirit of God. That's exactly where you get fooled. He'll anoint anybody. That's his promise. Your sons and my sons, your daughters and my daughters, your ministry, my ministry, your church, my church. Now, I think we ought to be smart. All right. And women today individually are acting out this denial of the church's Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow was to stand there as in Isaiah, where the prophet says, I and the children you have given me are for a sign. Everybody wants to sign signs and wonders and great miracles. Forget it. Whether women know it or not, representing the church, exactly how they look tells the condition of the church. I don't want the women going around here in sackcloth and ashes. I don't want you not doing your hair pretty, but I do not want you cutting your hair, nor having skirts and clothes on that reveal your figures or do those things you shouldn't do, because you are absolutely telling what is in this church, and I resent it. And I just assume you went someplace else. Hate to hurt your feeling, but it's the truth. We're getting right down to the truth. You're too worried about your shoes. You're worried about this. You've got to be ridiculous. If that's all I had to worry about, I'd shave my hair. I'd put on baggy pantaloon pants. I'd look like the stupid beef eater advertisement. You know, that's supposed to be some great fella back there in the ancient days of England. What does it matter? See? We're looking at this thing. Why? Because it types the church. Now you go to the other church and what do you see? You will see them not listening to the Word of God, and you will know by their dress exactly who they are and what they are. So that's too much a price to pay. I feel sorry for you. I wish I had that little price to pay. God help me, I wish I did. I'd trade with you. Not that I want to trade sexes. I want to trade the little bit you got to do. All right, let's read. What little time we got left. 147 paragraph and 35. And I hope you got some understanding when I brought in my notes to you here, because they have to touch it coming down through the ages and show you this thing is 100% the way the prophet taught it. And I can even go back to Romans chapter 1 and show you where I failed to tell you everything by not going to chapter 2 and show you the hour we're living in. That's not a boast, that's just the truth. I saw it last night. I haven't got time to work in my notes. We'll cut again another time. We get into why diseases are in the world now. All right, a woman that's a child of God lets her hair grow to show that she's consecrated to every word of God. Revelation 22, 18, 19. Now, as women cut their hair, they cut off the word and God cuts them off. That's the church. You say, well, my hair doesn't grow very much. I don't care if your hair's like a chicken fuzz, as long as you don't cut it. No problem, no problem at all. Whatever God made you, if he made you well-rounded like Marilyn Monroe, no problem, just don't make like Dolly Parton. She admits she likes herself, so the men will be attracted. And men are attracted. If she now stood in front of a donkey, he'd like turn around and kick her from over the moon. You see what I'm saying? Men, not birds and bees and things out here. Men. She dresses for men, she tells you. She's a prostitute. So, well, I had only one husband. You had thousands of them. You presented yourself on the TV like you had millions. And what you did behind scenes, I ain't going to even bother listening to. You worried about. I don't consider her a virtuous woman. I doubt very much if she kept herself clean, but that's her business. But she's not clean according to the Word of God. She lets her hair grow that she's consecrated to every word of God. If she cuts it off, I don't care how much she dances, sings, that's in the spirit, is in the choir, speaks in tongues, runs up and down, there's all kinds of aid society, she's dead. That's thus saith the Lord. Right away they say, well, Brother Branham, come on. God looks on the heart. Well, what came out of this woman's heart? You know, you can get so ridiculous refuting the Word of God as to be sick. He said, this is the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 14. He must be referring to the fact that women shut up in the church. They haven't got a word to say. They listen. And that's the same with men, too. But a woman can't handle the Word. In other words, only men can get in the pulpit. They have the right to teach. Women cannot. But I think he's really referring to chapter 11. where it tells you fat, she cannot cut her hair. There is no custom in any bride church where the cutting of hair is allowed. And you don't cover it up and say, well, I'll make my covering this. If you're bald-headed, simply buy a wig. Women are losing their hair everywhere. Pollution's doing it. The immune system is failing. Nutrition is not getting through. What is getting through isn't nutrition. The body and brain have turned to mush. There's nothing left. So buy a wig. If you need one, no problem. Just make it say it's the same color as your original hair. Or what's close to what you got. See, she's denied her Nazarite vow and sold out to the god of this modern age. She does it. Now, shame on you, lady woman. These women are really catchers of God's sons, like it was said, like it was as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, the women fair, and the sons of God began to marry among them. So will it be when the Son of Man returns, and their God thinks is great and pretty and scientific. Or their God makes them think is great, I think what he's really saying there, because their God's very happy with it. He's the guy that did it. When he can get away with something, he's very happy. Because it's against God. And what's he saying here? He's telling you the truth. The call of this hour for William Branham was, come out of her, my people. And in the denominations, there's brides sitting there. They come out. What stays behind? Foodie's virgin. They either stay in there or they come out, but they don't come to the bridegroom, because that's exactly Matthew, the 25th chapter. Come out and behold him. They come out, but they don't behold him. So they don't know their mate, the revealed word. They have nothing to do with this. But they will make it at the white throne. So the cry has come out of her. Now he said, full-born sons of God. Now the point is, didn't some of you come out of denomination, full-born sons of God? Certainly you're in there. And what brought you in there? The fact of the religion, you thought you liked it. You thought it was the real McCoy, the real thing. Now you found out exactly how dead it was. Now you know that was your enemy. The one that's off your word is your enemy. Come on, lay it on the line, as the prophet taught it. You think someone's your enemy because they corrected you. Oh, how people got mad at Brother Branham because he corrected them. Don't get mad at people correcting you. Especially if it's not a personal thing, but it's in the Word. Because the Word is the source of life, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. Now, over there in Isaiah, I quoted that a little bit. The 8th chapter, and the 18th verse, we ought to hear pretty soon. Behold, I am the children whom the Lord hath given me, are for signs and for wonders in Israel, from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, when he's talking about Mount Zion, he's referring them to New Jerusalem and what he's doing about it. So he said, I'm for a sign and the children you gave. What was the sign? The prophet with vindication. What are the children? Those that listen to the word. You see, you're not expected to produce anything. You're expected to believe. Then out of the believing, as you do believe, you can get strength to do what you're supposed to do. But not before, brother, sister. No way, shape, and form. Knowledge, Hollywood fashion styled in its own shop. Sure, all this here gooey stuff, you know. She, his church, simply loves it. Oh, my. I give you to understand I'm Methodist. I'm Presbyterian. Our pastor's got better sense than to say things like that, like Brother Branham says. Brother Branham says he's got not enough sense to say the things that God says then. She, the church, simply worships it. In other words, she pays homage and respect. She loves it. Just what she's wanted. She won't join up with anything, brother, or come into anything. She has to act like something different from what these modern Jezebels are, because that's the nature that's in her. Okay. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. Brother Branham quoted it from Paul. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world, the fashion, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among them also you had your behavior in time past in lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's where the born again comes in. God comes down upon the person, giving him not a desire for these things, but an aversion for these things. That doesn't say from now on, you people that you'd like to smoke, you're suddenly going to find that you don't smoke. It doesn't say that. You may have to fight it. You have to fight a lot of things, but the idea is you don't love it and you don't want it. Now God can begin to work in you. Because they that desire to know the will of God and have the will of God are prime candidates to have it. See, now it says their nature. Their nature is what you and I have, even as children of obedience, which means children of God, by the correct lineage, right back to God, like Adam was. We positively are one lump. And there's no difference between the flesh and the spirits that we get, because they're all allowed to God. But down in the soul, there's a little seed. The soul having come from God. Now that will desire the Word. And if you're truly born again, you can't help it. You will go to the Word, and you will not be fooled by denominations. You won't get a false rebirth. What about these guys that are wolves in sheep clothing? Got a false rebirth. Come out smelling like roses, literally. Like lilies, yeah. Now, they're Jezebels, because that's the nature in her. How can they be any other nature? They can't. Let me tell you something. The original life has never changed. When it came to Eve, she had two eggs which could be fertilized. The serpent life got to the one egg and produced a hybrid. Serpent life. The sperm of Adam got to the second egg and produced a true human being. At the time of the flood, there was a complete mixture. But the two lines of life were there. And the admixtured body, one lump. That's why Brother Branham said a virgin birth is nothing compared to an elect birth of a predestinated child foreknown of God, when you consider the male ejaculate has billions of sperm in it. And the woman herself, and there's about 200,000 eggs, but there's literally millions of hairs up there that could come into eggs. Which one does God allow to come forth? He's the great computer, eternal mind of Almighty God. Just think of that one. And you know no computers will ever do it. They're trying to make computers to work like people. Forget it. Stupid is what stupid does. They'll destroy the earth. They're doing it right now. They're fighting a war because of oil. The old men stand back and tell the president, you can't run cars on alcohol. Hitler had a war on alcohol. Brazil runs its cars on alcohol. But our stupid politicians tell us, because of money, 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 money. Can't run your car on alcohol. That's a lie. You can. You run it on, what do you call? It's ethyl made out of corn. A farmer runs his machinery literally on the fumes of manure, methane gas. The government's a lie. You know why? It's religious. And in her is a war machine. And the churches get right behind it. You talk about this could be another Vietnam. Who knows? To me, it stinks. It's not Russia coming down for the oil. Although it could be the prelude, because Russia said, hey, we'll step in if we have to. And they're going to send troops in. They ain't stupid. Who taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, change his nature. If you are born to be 5 foot tall, you will not be 6 foot tall, like Booth Clipper and Stretching Machine. Now that talks about the Booth brother that was kind of humpbacked or something, and he was shorter, so they heard of this stretching machine, so they tried to figure they could stretch him a bit at a time. It didn't work. That's the rack. It'll pull your joints out of their socket. There is such a thing as the bone lengthening by the doctors doing. They lengthen the bones so the bones then grow in between. But you don't pull the bone and lengthen it. It's when the leg is short, there's a process they can cut it and leave it apart a certain little bit, so many, what is it, You must know about a gene. Some of you guys, you read about it like I do. And then the bone fills in, the leg just longer. But you don't take a machine to stretch anything. It's called bone stretching, but it's not bone stretching. Bone doesn't stretch. It's just... You know what I mean, let's face it. Seven feet tall people, their vertebrae are just bigger. They got the same number of vertebrae a guy 4 feet's got. But the guy with the big, long, thin back and thin neck, he's got more trouble than a short guy. Showing you weren't meant to be tall. Understand the perfect height is about 5'8", 5'9", somewhere in there. Wasn't Jim Laundis the Greek the most perfect male? The wrestler, that's before any of you guys' time. You remember nothing. You weren't even born yet. Read your books. Yes, he was. Perfect. I know all about those guys. That's my day when I was a kid. Okay, listen, you men, you bunch of Rickies. If you were born to be a man, then act like a man. These bangs hanging down in your face and curled up like some sex appeal, especially homo. Why, you perverted generation of snakes? What's the matter with you anyhow? My God will judge this nation someday with fire. America. He'll sink it beneath the ocean, starting with California. The hour of his judgment is at hand. The whole world will go. What about Johnny Cash then singing his song to make everybody happy? Well, it's not the hair that counts, you know. Oh, it's not the hair that counts. Men can have long hair. They look like a bunch of jerks, which they are. Can't stand it. I think all kinds of Sherman Tang bulldozer tactics, which is not becoming to my gentle mind. Might as well be honest. You can pray for me, I'll certainly appreciate it. Johnny Cash. He said, you can't judge by the hair. Johnny Cash is a liar. And the truth is not in him. I think he got that thought when he was on drugs. He could still be on drugs for all I know and I care. I'm not interested in him. Or anything he's got to say, even though he's a friend of Billy Graham. I don't have interest in Billy Graham either. Not that I'm going to fight the guy, just don't have an interest in the fellow. I'm not interested. He's got nothing to tell me. Not only is I'm going to see Elvis in heaven. Then Humbard got on the trail, on the bandwagon. I'm going to see Elvis in heaven. Or else I'll meet Elvis. Well, I read your Brother Brown and called Elvis evil, cat. Ever heard of cats and rats in heaven? No, I never heard that. Maybe they hear something I haven't heard, but I'm not going to say who's going to be there. I'm just going to say I'm not believing. Say, listen, it says, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame? We're not supposed to believe anything but that these goof-offs, these mouths, shoot their mouths off. What great men are teaching your kids in college? The scuzziest looking crumbs under God's high heaven in majority. I wouldn't let him in my house. I wouldn't let him in my mildew basement. You got good lungs, you can take it. I mean, listen, I tell you. In other words, don't expect me to be hospitable. No, I couldn't do it. Religious perversion. What time we got? Time to quit. All right, we're going to start right here in religious perversion, and I will read Romans 1 and Romans 2 when we start on Saturday night. No, I don't think we'll have a meeting. Normally, I would say, having got this far in my notes, that I would, we'd come back Wednesday, but I know my better judgment tells me, don't do it. We'll be here for Saturday night. Sunday, I think Brother Stan may preach this Sunday, it all depends, or the next time, who knows. Sometime. Now, we're glad to have Sister Johnson with us. I suppose, Heather, you're going home to have lunch with your folk. Or can you have lunch with somebody here? Could you? Pardon? No, but will somebody take you out to dinner? Would you like to do that? Good. Okay, Joe, you're elected. You work it out. You take Sister Johnson and Heather, or the Sister McMahon, and the children. You got to the two kiddies? We got two, three? Great. That's nice. They're fine kids. You ought to just show them to the whole church. She's a pretty girl herself, so you can see fine-looking boys. Okay, you take the dinner. I'd take it myself, but I don't eat too much. I eat out so much.
Yeah.
Okay? Can you do that, Joe? Okay, let's rise and be dismissed. It's a pleasure to have you girls and your families. Lord bless you. You look real good to me. And I know you do to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely assemblage of people that are here, Father, for just one reason, and that's for the word which they believe, even though it may sound unkind, especially by my manner, that it is trying to be right down to the very word the prophet said, not trying to hew it hard and not trying to be rougher, not believing that way at all, Lord, because I don't like that myself. But, Father, putting it forth in such a way that we can't go back on it. We made our stand. That's the thing we're looking at, Lord, not something to go back on, because that's what the whole church has always done. It's gone back and gone back. Eve went back on the word. Adam went back with her. And we're tired, Lord, of the church just taking over, because we know whose head it is. But we, Lord, you know there's a bride. It's not church anymore. It's not even saints anymore. It's bride. A bride, Lord, that's identified with New Jerusalem because she's a part of it right now. Identified with the builder of the head, the cornerstone, the capstone, which we are by the word of God. We're so grateful for that, Lord, and we thank you for this wonderful, marvelous privilege we have of coming together as brothers and sisters, Lord, as one family in the word. Word children from a word father. No genes different, not at all. No chromosomes different, all the same. All looking to be a part of that wonderful resurrection and what follows it all. Father, these are the things we're looking at. No longer can we look at each other. All of us were children of wrath by nature because of the way we're born. But there's something in us that wasn't born. There's something in us there that was eternal. And we're looking at that, looking to see what's going to come forth in the resurrection, which is going to fall into perfect harmony, perfectly commensurate with that great eternal life within us. Thank you for the representation we had before. Thank you for the representation we have now. Thank you for the fulfillment. We'll see more and more of it. Father, we commend ourselves to you this day, to the word of your grace, to the word of healing, even as the prophet said, take this message for the healing, that there not be one person amongst us, Lord, who is not getting some kind of a healing. Until, Lord, we come to that place where there's no need for it, even as we know that baptism runs out. But we've never found one word where the prophet said that divine healing ran out. Never found one word he said that where these other things ran out. We just know there comes a time when there's no more seed left, no more believers baptized with the Holy Ghost. This is the end time then for the resurrection, the rapture, and those things which pertain thereof. And unto thee we ascribe the glory, because we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior.